Right now, I am talking with Jim Less, who is with NASA. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Steve.
And this, you said you've been here a couple of days now?
Yep, got in on Wednesday, been here since Thursday.
Okay. And not your first time here at Oshkosh.
No.
You were here a couple of years ago, and you got to make some noise when you came in.
Yes, I did. NASA F-18 I flew in with.
That's awesome. So tell us a little bit about your background in aviation and how you came to be with NASA.
So, like a lot of folks, I started out at my local FBO and got my private license. But then I really learned a lot more about flying from the U.S. Air Force. I went through Air Force pilot training, flew F-111s for over 4 years, transitioned to the F-117 after that, attended the Air Force test pilot school, and mostly flew F-16s for the remainder of my Air Force career.
That's awesome. What was it like to fly the F-111? I've not talked to very many people who've flown that airplane.
It's an old one. Most of them are in museums now. It was a very fast airplane, and it flew very smooth. We flew low level. You'd sweep the wings back, and it'd go quite fast, and it was just a magic carpet ride.
Amazing. Now, also, if you know what the F-111 is, it's a very large airplane. Like you said, it goes very fast. Swept wing, and then you transition to the 117?
Yes.
Much smaller, just as quick. Well, a little faster. Yeah. But how did you make that transition?
A lot of training, simulators, and it was pretty easy to fly. Now, the F-117 was a great aircraft.
Great. And you said 21 years in the military, mm-hmm. and then we're in test pilot school. Yeah. How'd you make the transition to NASA?
So when I was approaching retirement from the Air Force, there was a job opening, and not sure how I got picked, but I applied, and next thing I know, I'm working for NASA. And that's been about 12 years now.
All right.
Flying F-15s, F-18s, King Air, 747.
About how many people apply to be a pilot with NASA every year?
The year I got picked, about 100 people applied. I have no idea how I got here.
Well, it's okay. You are here. Jim Less is with us today. His call sign is Clue. Figure out where that came
from. Think about that one.
I guess if there was a good story behind it, he said, nope, it's just the way it is. So yeah. There might be a story he's not sharing. I don't know. But Jim, you've been a test pilot with NASA. And when people think of NASA, they often think of the Space Administration, mm-hmm. the last two letters of the acronym. But you're in the aeronautics area. What are some of the projects?
The first A in NASA,
that's
yes.
Right. What are some of the projects that you've worked on?
So we've been doing a lot of supersonic research leading up towards the X-59, which we hope to fly towards the end of this year or early into next year. It's a supersonic aircraft that will have no sonic boom. It will have a thump. You can't eliminate the sound altogether, but if you spread it out, it will be much less objectionable.
How exactly does a sonic boom happen? What are the physics that's going on at that point?
So any object that goes faster than the speed of sound, basically the sound waves can't get out of the way, and they merge together into what we call a shock wave, which extends down from the aircraft basically in a cone. And it's not just when you first go through the speed of sound. Anywhere you go supersonic, you're dragging this cone along, and everywhere it hits the ground, somebody's going to hear a boom.
So with that, so how is the X-59, how is that technology going to change that?
So it's all in the shape. And simple answer, think long and skinny. The wingspan is about 30 feet, and the aircraft's about 100 feet long. So it's got a very long, pointy nose. And that just, it smooths out. It's a series of smaller shock waves instead of a couple big ones, and it just spreads the sound out.
Okay. What's the power plant that you have in the airplane?
It's going to be a GE-414. It's the same engine that the Super Hornet uses that we saw flying around last night.
Okay. Now, those are relatively loud in themselves, but mm-hmm. once you get to altitude, you don't have to worry about that.
Right. You won't hear the engine noise.
Right. And how long has this been in development?
We've been working on it for, 5 to 10 years. And the aircraft itself, more recently, NASA's been studying sonic booms for a long time, kind of paving the way for this technology. And we eventually got to the point where we knew we could build an aircraft from scratch with a quiet sonic boom. And that's when we contracted with the Lockheed Skunk Works. The folks out in Palmdale, California are building the aircraft. Okay. And it's starting to look like an aircraft. It's sitting on its own gear. The engine's going in very soon. Doesn't have a paint job yet, but we're working on that too.
I'll bet it'll be red, white, and blue, some variation of.
Definitely. Yeah, we've got pictures of it over in the NASA tent if you want to see what it's going to look like.
Excellent. Where is the tent on the grounds here?
Oh,
that way?
That way. Okay. What's that from here?
North.
North. There we go. Okay. Northwest.
Northwest.
Of here. Yeah,
all right.
It's northwest of here.
Good. With the X-59, why is it important for us to worry about supersonic flight?
So everybody should remember the Concorde. It was limited in where it could go. It could only fly over the ocean because that sonic boom was very loud. And the FAA has prohibited civil supersonic flight over land. We're trying to change that. If we can go and demonstrate that we can make an aircraft without the big boom, and then once we've tested it out, we're going to take it around the country and fly over communities, do surveys of the population, and then take that data to the FAA and say, time to change the rule. Instead of a speed limit, let's make it a sound limit.
Okay. And the technology that you'll create with the X-59, when it's successful, you'll be able to then have commercial applications for it, right?
Absolutely. Any U.S. Aircraft manufacturer that wants the data from what we learned can have that. And then the first products would be business jets,
right?
We would expect. But we hope then scale that up to airliners similar to the Concorde.
Right. And bring up an interesting point. The research that NASA does, not only this project, but all the projects, is available. It's
absolutely
not something that you keep locked
this
away.
This is your tax dollars at work, and we're doing this for the American aviation industries.
Awesome. So you said the first flight's probably going to be the end of this year?
End of this year. Early in the next year.
Okay. Well, it's like any aircraft project. It's
exactly.
98% complete and 104% left
exactly.
to go.
Exactly. Now, we're closer than that.
Okay.
We're getting there.
Good. Any thought as to who might be the first to fly that? Are you putting your hat in the ring for that?
Well, there's three of us okay. that are assigned to the project. Typically, the contractor test pilot goes first. A guy named Dog.
Okay. We're talking to Jim Les with the X-59 project with NASA. What are some of the other projects that you've worked on in your time with NASA?
Okay. I fly the SOFIA aircraft. That's a 747 with a telescope in the back. That's my night job is what I like to say because we fly that around at nighttime.
And you're... Observing constellations?
Observing galaxies, okay. star-forming regions, a variety of things. And one of the more recent things they discovered was water on the moon.
Oh, really?
In areas that it was not expected.
Okay.
They expected dark craters would have a little bit of water, but in sunlit parts of the moon, they've actually detected water.
Excellent.
We've done a lot of supersonic research over the years, kind of paving the way for the X-59. Studies of how sonic booms are perceived by the community, how they affect different structures. People tend to really dislike sonic booms when they're inside and the whole building shakes and the windows rattle. Years ago, we did a project where we hung a radar on the F-18. It was the landing radar for the Curiosity rovers that have gone to Mars, and we tested that out in the Mojave Desert before sending them out to Mars.
Awesome. Where are you based, by the way?
Edwards Air Force Base
okay.
in California. It's the Armstrong Flight Research Center, named
right.
after Neil Armstrong.
Of course.
Who worked there before he got more famous.
He took that little trip to the moon a couple
of years.
Took
that little trip to the moon, yeah.
Speaking of anniversaries, we just had the anniversary of the Apollo 11 mission, and NASA itself turned 64 years
yes.
yesterday. I just randomly saw that fact pop up on the internet. Today, and it was like, wow, I missed that one.
That is true. It was before that, it was the NACA
right.
dealing with aeronautics. That was before we had the space side of it. People
right.
think of NASA in space, but mm-hmm. our heritage really is aeronautical research, and we're still doing that today.
Good. Any final thoughts before we wrap up this morning?
We're having a forum over at Forum 11 at 11:30, talking more about the X-59. One of the other pilots, Nils Larson, will be with me, and we're going to talk a little bit about how we're training to fly this unique aircraft.
Excellent. That is 1130 Forum Building Number 11. Mm-hmm. Jim, thank you for joining us. Good luck with the X-59 project, and hopefully you'll be back here next year. Maybe we'll even see that airplane out here on the flight line.
That would be great.
That would be awesome.
Thank you very much.
All right. This is From the Stand on EIA Radio.